if we were to analyze our lives, most of our waking hours are devoted to the pursuit of a livelihood and going to work. So we have to answer a very basic question of why do we work? Amazingly, there are people that think the reason is to make money. But the evidence would point in a completely different direction. How many people are actually using the money they make from work? There are many people who work hard to earn money, and we take it and we invest it in the stock market. And lo aleinu, we lose it. So who were we working for all those years when we invested, when we made all that money? We were working for those people whose stocks we bought. If someone works and they make it big, they earn millions. So there's only so much you could use your money for. There's only so much you could eat. There's only so many pounds of meat you could consume. There's only so many bottles of soda you could drink. And there's only so many houses you could own. And the rest, all the rest of the money that you're making is going to be for somebody else. Rabbi Waxman told a story about his grandmother. His grandmother, she owned a condominium in Florida. And she would rent it out. And there was a couple who took it. And they had to pay rent every month. And the rent was always late. Sometimes they would pay a week late, 2 weeks late, 3 weeks late. And after a few months, they started paying on time. And the grandmother asked the couple, she said, "How come all of a sudden you're paying on time? What's the change?" So they said, "Oh, it's a very interesting story we have to tell you. You know you had a very friendly neighbor upstairs, an old woman?" She says, "Oh yeah, she used to come over all the time." She says, "Yeah, when we took over the apartment, she came down to us naturally like she used to come to you. And she asked for you. We said we didn't know where you were. We said we were renting the apartment and we made friends with her. And we invited her over for Shabbat. And week after week, she came to eat by us." Eventually, her brother from Minnesota, he came to spend the last few years of his life. He was getting old. He came to spend the last few years of his life with his sister. And he also came over. And we made friends with them. And they ate with us. And we gave them a good time. Whenever they needed advice, they came to us. And we lived happily like that for 3-4 months. The woman died. 2 weeks later, her brother died. And they left no relatives. We got a letter in the mail, through our door slot. And it said that this man from Minnesota, this old man from Minnesota, left you, they left us, his life savings of $700,000. He wanted to leave it to this nice couple that took care of him in the remaining years of his life. The rabbi said, "Let's analyze this story. Let's take a look at this guy. This guy in Minnesota. He lived in cold Minnesota. Imagine all those mornings he woke up. He was going to work. Killing himself. Waking up early. He was fighting the elements. Fighting the snow. He was probably arguing with his employer for a raise. Putting away savings. He was working hard for 50 years. And where did all his money go at the end? It went to this Jew in Florida. Turned out he worked his whole life for this guy. Jew told the rabbi, he said that he was involved in a business deal for over 2 years. It was worth millions of dollars. $2-3 million deal. And the whole deal ended up falling apart. So the guy said he went to his car after and he burst out into tears. And he said, "I wasn't crying about the money, Rabbi. I have bitachon. I know that it's not meant to be. It wasn't meant for me. Fine." He said, "But you know what I was crying about?" He said, "Every single phone call and every meeting and every letter that I wrote over the last 2 years was for nothing. I thought I was being productive and it was all for nothing. I wasted 2 years of my life." Could make a person go crazy. 2 years working on a deal, he gets nothing out of it. But as we're going to see now, he didn't waste any time. Because every drop of effort he put in was for a purpose. It clearly wasn't to make money, but it was for a purpose. A guy could go to work for 2-3 weeks at a shot, not make one sale. Was he working for money those 2 weeks? No. The Gaon writes that Hashem gives money to the entire world. He spreads it around. He creates, he lets one person create a product, another person works, another person sells, and Hashem create, he spreads out his hashpa'ah all over the world. But he really doesn't need us. Does he need us to work to give us the money? I'll give you a mashal. Imagine you have a multi-billionaire, and one day you see his son delivering newspapers. Now there are many reasons why a father would want his son to deliver newspapers. Maybe he wants him to have a hard work ethic. He wants him to get up early. There's many reasons. But one thing for sure is it's not for the money. We have a father with all the money in the world. And the same father who gave us our eyes, that you can't put a price on, there's no dollar amount on an eye. And the same father who gives us life, and when a person, lo aleinu, was on his last breath of life, what amount of money wouldn't he pay? What wouldn't he pay for another year of life? And Hashem gives us life in abundance. He could have easily given us our parnasa without us having to kill ourselves. So what is the reason we struggle for parnasa? This is the Chovot HaLevavot's question. What is the reason why Hashem wants us to actually go to work? He doesn't need us to go to work for the money. So he gives us completely different reasons. Number one, he says, because Hashem wants to test us. And every possible test could come a person's way during the course of a workday. We have tests in bitachon, tests in honesty, tests in midot. How are we going to deal with our co-workers, with our employer, with our employees? The purpose of being in the work setting is for one reason, to be omed b'nisayon, to pass the tests and earn olam haba. That's it. That's why God wants you to go to work. So you can pass your tests at work. And number two, he said if a person wasn't busy using his time to earn a parnasa, most people would use their time on nothingness. And we would end up making averot, as it says, boredom. Boredom leads to averot. So Hashem wants to occupy our time to make sure we're busy. And He wants us to pass tests. Those are the only two reasons why we go to work. This means we have to completely reassess our goals, but where we are every day at 9 o'clock in the morning. We think that you go to work to earn money, and while I'm there, I have to be honest, I have to make a Kiddush Hashem, to treat people right. And it's exactly the opposite. You're getting on the train in the morning to go to work, only not to steal. You're getting on the train to go to work only to make a Kiddush Hashem. Only to help others. Only to watch your midot. This is the goal of work. And by the way, once you're there, okay, you'll pick up your check. Yeah, Hashem has your check waiting at the end of the week for you. Don't worry. And you have to constantly remind ourselves of this. Never forget the purpose of our working. Now, what I'm saying sounds crazy. Guy's saying, oh, come on. What do you mean? I go to work just to pass tests and all my effort means nothing? You know, a guy could say, I put in all efforts into the sale. I called the customer. I made the goods look okay. I invested the money. I made the money. Every part of our body is screaming all day long, Kochi ve'otzem yadi, asa li et ha'chayil hazeh. And the truth is, Hashem doesn't need it. He doesn't need you to do that. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you in other ways. So all day long we're being tested with this. Person is being, the more you talk about your success, And the more you say, I did this, I did that, I failed even. Even when you talk about your failure, I failed. You failed? It wasn't you that failed. You tried, you put in a good effort. Hashem didn't want the deal to go through. You didn't fail. I succeeded. You didn't succeed. Hashem allowed the deal to go through. You say, Hashem gave me the ability to put this deal go through. And if a person says about another one, he says, oh, this guy, he's successful. Wow, this guy's a genius. Wow, this guy's unbelievable. He's a genius. And if a person who's not making money, he's unsuccessful, he says, this guy is a yo-yo, he's a batlan. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know his left from his right. That could be heresy. Could be a heresy. Who? Just because he's not making money, he's a nothing? The Ibn Ezra, one of the greatest minds we ever had, he wrote a poem about his parnasah. He said, if I were to manufacture candles, the sun would probably shine forever. And if I would go into the shroud business, people would never die. He had no luck in business. What could I do? That's what God wants for me. Does it mean that he's not a spry person? Does it mean he didn't put in his effort? Doesn't mean that God didn't want it to work for him. Let's analyze this a little deeper. We know that because of the sin of Adam HaRishon, the world received two punishments. Number one, death, mita. The other one, bezeat apecha tocha lechem, you have to sweat for your bread. Now, Mesila Yesharim writes, unbelievable. In Perek Kaf Aleph, towards the end of the Perek, the Mesila Yesharim writes the following. He quotes the Gemara in Betzah that says, Kol mezonotav shel Adam. Ketzuvim lo merosh hashanah. Everything that you're going to make, every penny that a person is going to make during the course of this year, was decided on Rosh Hashanah. Ukevar haya ha'adam yachol liyot yoshev ubatel. Technically, a person could sit home and do nothing, and the gezerah would be mitkayem. Hashem would give you the money anyway. Technically. If not, that he put a curse on the world. If not that he said, "Bizeat apecha tocha lechem," you could have got the money doing nothing. He says, but now we're cursed, you have to put in a certain amount of effort. Eze hishtadlut, he says, a certain amount of effort, lesorech parnasato. Vehareze, he calls it like a tax. Our work is a tax that you can't escape. You can't escape the tax. You want to collect your paycheck, you need to put in the tax. He says, but don't think for a second. Don't think that's what's getting you your money. You have to do it. It's a tax. But that's not what's getting you. That's not what's causing you to make the amount that you're making. He says, once you put in the effort that's required, you paid your tax, you fulfilled your obligation, and go home. Now you have where a makom for the beracha of Hashem to take hold on. You fulfilled your tax, you went to work, you put in a day, that's it. You did your reasonable effort, that's all is required of you. The rest now is whatever God was going to give you. Whether you work, whether you didn't work, He has a certain number in there, and He's going to give it to you, provided that you put in the tax. That's how the Mesilat Yesharim puts it. But we think, I don't know about you, me, I think that we're helping Hashem. We think He needs our help. We think, I didn't put enough time. I need a little more, Hashem. I didn't think I put enough in today for you. I don't think you could handle it. It was a story of a guy, famous story. The guy, he pulls into the airport and his flight's almost leaving. And he cries out to Hashem and he says, Hashem, I must catch this flight. I need a parking spot. Please. Please, I need a spot. And he's circling and circling. And all of a sudden, the spot opens up. And the guy said, thanks Hashem, anyway, I don't need you. I found the spot on my own. That's what we think. We don't need him. We found it. We're good. We're good on our own. Now, what was the actual sin of Adam HaRishon? What was the big sin that caused this curse to take place into the world? The Maharal explains that Hashem put Adam in paradise. He was in Gan Eden. He had everything. Hashem says, I'm going to serve. It says the Malachim used to serve Adam HaRishon steak, wine and steak. He was in paradise. Literally, he was in paradise. And Hashem says, you have everything. Whatever you want, you could have. You're complete. And he sent him the Nachash. He sent him the snake. And the snake comes and he tells him, but you're missing one thing. Yeah, you have everything. You're missing one thing. You don't have that in the middle of the garden over there. You don't have that. And because you don't have that, you have nothing. He made Adam, he wanted Adam, Harishon, to feel incomplete. To feel that he didn't have. And Adam fell for it. And Hashem says, you know what the punishment for that is? I told you you're complete, and you felt incomplete. Now you're going to be incomplete. Now you're going to really be incomplete. Now you have to work. Now you have to die. Now you're not mortal. Now you're not immortal anymore. Now you became incomplete. He says, but Hashem gave the world a gift. He gave the world a gift. He says, and by the way, because of Adam Harishon, we always feel now in our minds, it says a person who has, he always wants more. You have 1 million, you want 2 million. You have 3 million, you want 4. Whatever you have, you always want more. That's a result of the curse of Adam Harishon. But Hashem gave us a gift. It's called Bitachon. Hashem said, you have the ability in this world to feel complete. You have the ability to feel that everything I gave you is exactly what you need. And with Bitachon, a person could transcend the curse and he could go back to like it was before the sin of Adam Harishon. Chafetz Chaim once told somebody, he asked somebody, how are you? How are you doing? I'll never forget this line. He said, how are you? The guy said, well, could be better. The Chafetz Chaim told him, if it could be better, it would be better. What do you mean it could be better? Hashem gave you everything that you need. What do you mean could be better? There's nothing that could be better. He would make it better for you. That's what we have to feel with Bitachon. I have all my needs. I have whatever I have is what Hashem wants me to have, and He gave me exactly what I need to live. Now, how much effort do we really have to put in at work? Okay, you're telling me now Hashem has the number. He has the number in Shamayim written down already. On Yod Rosh Hashanah, what you're making, you can't do anything to get more, get less. I mean, again, I have to just pay my tax. What is that tax that we have to pay? Let's lema'aseh, how much do I have to work? So the Mechtav Me'eliyahu talks about different types of people. He says there's a few different categories of people in the world. He says, number one, the highest level is someone, we talked about this person before, who views everything as a miracle in life. He sees right through nature. He knows that the same miracle for God to bring out the sun is for God to have a tree grow, and for God to split the sea. They're all the same. In this man's eyes, he sees through nature. The Mechtav Me'eliyahu says about him, he could get his bread through miracles. He doesn't have to go to work, this guy. This guy could spend his days in spiritual pursuits. He could devote his life to God, and Hashem will take care of him in a miraculous way. I don't know how many people there are like that in the world today, if any, but there is a madriga that you see everything is a miracle. Hashem says, I will sustain you through a miracle. There was a man, give you an example, there was a man who lived in Sifat. Simple man, you don't have to be on a high level for this. You have to just believe. There was a simple man, he was an unlearned Jew. And he had a very tiring job. His job was transporting dirt and bricks. He had a donkey and he had a wagon and he was transporting all day long. It's very tiring, back-breaking work. The guy was in shul one Shabbat. He was in the shul of the Al-Sheikh. And the Al-Sheikh gets up, he gives a dirasha on Shabbat about Bitachon. And he says, the highest level of Bitachon, if you are on that madriga where you believe everything is directly from Hashem, he says, you don't need any ishtadlut. You don't need to go to work. That's what the rabbi said in shul. And the man said, what? Wow, it's amazing. You don't need to go to work if you believe. I believe. I want to believe. My life is so hard. I hate my life. I want to believe. And the man made a decision at that moment. And he says, I'm going to put my trust in God. Why not? Why can't he? And he said, he told his wife, honey, I'm quitting. I'm quitting my job. She said, what? You crazy? I'm going to go read Tehillim all day in the shul. If you want, you could join me. You're crazy. What are you doing? We need to put food on the table. No, the rabbi said, I have faith in God. He's going to take care of me. And he went to the shul and he started opening up the Tehillim and reading. His wife said, my husband flipped. What should I do? So, one day passes, 2 days pass. They weren't wealthy people. There's no food in the house. 2-3 days pass. The wife's starving. Says, what? I have no choice. I have to sell our one possession. She's going to sell the donkey. She sells the donkey and the wagon to a Gentile. She makes a nice profit. And they're using the money to eat. I don't know, she doesn't know how long it's going to last. That's what she's doing. So it says the Gentile took the donkey. And he was a digger, this man. He dug and he put things, whatever he found, he put on the wagon. And he would try to make discoveries. And he was out there in the mountains one day digging. And he hit a treasure. And he says, wow, I'm rich. He hit a treasure. He's digging. He takes out this big treasure. And he loads it up in the wagon. And while he's putting the stuff on the wagon, a boulder starts coming down the mountain, boom, right in his head, kills the guy. And the donkey is out there in the alone. The donkey doesn't know what to do. It's standing there. There's no master. What does the donkey do? He's hungry. He says he does what he normally does. He went back to his normal master his whole life. He's going to his master. He walks back to the master. His wife's home. And his wife says, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. She says, keep saying your Tehillim, honey. We're rich. Your bitachon worked. And this donkey came back with the treasure. And they live happily ever after. Now, the students of the Al-Sheikh saw what happened over here. And they said, Rabbi, I don't understand. We're going to your bitachon classes for 3 years. And we're all poor. And this guy, one day he goes to one class on Shabbat, and all of a sudden Hashem is making him a millionaire. What happened over here? So the rabbi said, it's very simple. You guys are very smart. You guys, everything has to make sense. Of course, I'm teaching you principles of bitachon, but it has to make sense to you. And you're always trying to work it out and calculate and work. This guy was a simple man. He doesn't know anything. He just said, I have faith. He really meant it. The guy really meant it. Hashem says, you really believe in me? I have to come through for him. That's the difference. The difference is when you're making all the calculations and you're saying, it doesn't work out, come on, what do you mean, this, that. We're too smart for ourselves. But that highest madriga, the rabbis say, is the simple, pure faith. Unadulterated faith. No questions. I know it doesn't make sense. I know I sound like I'm crazy. That's the faith. That's the highest level. Very hard because we have... Because our sechel doesn't allow it. Our sechel says, no, it can't be. But that's why it's so hard to come by. But that's the ultimate madriga. The famous story of Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha, he used to pray and learn. And he also was an unbelievable Baal Bitachon. Every day at a certain time, he would cry out to Hashem. And he would say, Hashem, Zusha is hungry. I want food now. That was his statement every day. Zusha is hungry. And he had a shamash, he had a servant, who would come in. Whenever the rabbi said, I'm hungry, he went and he brought him in a meal. And the rabbi, after he got his meal, he ate. Thank you, Hashem. Hashem, wow. Thank you, Hashem. You're great. This went on for years. One day the shamash says, I'm going to teach this rabbi a lesson. What is this? Every day he thanks Hashem. He thanks Hashem. He doesn't know I'm supporting him. I'm the one putting up the money every day. And all he's doing is thanking Hashem. Tomorrow, I'm not giving him his food. Okay, next day comes, 2 o'clock, the rabbi gets hungry. Rabbi says, Zusha is hungry, Hashem, please. Knock at the door. Wealthy man at the door with a nice big gourmet meal. He has a whole meal with wine. And the shamash is standing there, can't believe it. Guy walks in, feeds the rabbi. The shamash goes over to the wealthy man and says, what are you doing here? How did you know to come? He says, oh, you don't know what happened yesterday. I came in from out of town. I was walking in the late at night in the rain, 2 o'clock in the morning. I knocked over the rabbi. I didn't know it was him. I knocked him over. I thought it was a poor man. I went. He said, I felt so bad. I talked to somebody after. They said, the only person that walks around at 2 o'clock in the morning is the rabbi, Rav Zusha. He says, I have to make it up to him. What should I do? Someone told me, every day, at a certain time, he asks for food. He says, you give him the food tomorrow, and you'll ask him forgiveness, he'll for sure forgive you. The Shamor said, I see from here, Hashem is supporting this rabbi. I'm the messenger. I'm a messenger, so I take it every day, but it's really Hashem. Hashem's going to take care of him, with me or without me. Now, this is a high level of bitachon that we're talking about. Not everybody, or most people, are not holding by this level. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter also got up one week on Shabbat, and he also gave this speech. And he told the people, yeah, bitachon, you don't have to work if you have ultimate bitachon. And one guy said, I like what the rabbi is saying, I'm quitting my job also. The guy came home and he told his wife he's quitting. The wife ran to the rabbi. And the wife told the rabbi, what are you preaching to my husband in shul? He's quitting his job, we're going to starve. The rabbi said, oh, I was talking in theory. I didn't think anybody in the shul was holding by the level. She says, well, you convinced my husband. So the rabbi goes to the husband. And the rabbi said, I heard you quit your job. He said, yeah, rabbi, I'm in. Bitachon. I'm not working anymore. So the rabbi said, how are you planning on making your panasa? You have to have a... He says, I bought a lottery ticket. The lottery for tonight is exactly the amount I make per year. I know Hashem's going to allow me to win it because I have bitachon. He says, yeah, how much is that? 10,000 rubles. He says, wow. He says, so you have the winning ticket? He says, yeah, rabbi. He says, I'll give you 5,000 for it right now. The guy says, 5,000 rubles for this ticket? You got it. The rabbi said, you're a sketch. You don't have bitachon. If you're willing to sell the ticket, you don't really have bitachon. A lot of times we could fool ourselves and have false bitachon. Meanwhile, sometimes we're just lazy. Guys, he convinces himself he's a baal bitachon, he's lazy. We have to know the difference between bitachon and laziness. Rabbi Wolbe said that there's no madrega in this world that people are more mistaken about, and no spiritual level that we're more mistaken about than bitachon. He says there's a simple method to determine whether you truly have bitachon in Hashem or not. He says if you find yourself asking a lot of questions about bitachon all the time, you probably don't have it. He says someone with genuine faith, he doesn't ask too many questions. He lives his life, he has all the answers, everything is good. I know what's happening. Hashem is in charge. He's not asking questions. That's the guy with complete bitachon. So, It's a level that we strive for, but a level that most people are not on. There was another rabbi who was on such a level. He was the Alter of Novartek. He was a world-renowned Baal Bitachon. One of his students told the following story, amazing story. The rabbi, they had a movement in Novartek. They're always working on different midot. They're working hard. This rabbi, he loved seclusion. The rabbi loved to isolate himself and become one with Hashem. He had a little shack out in the woods where he would go and he would make soul introspection. And he would sit there alone in the forest. And one time he brought a student with him. He wanted to learn out in the forest at night, the whole night alone in the forest, just out there with God. So they went out to learn deep secrets of the Torah. They're in that shack. And the student related what happened. They're out there in the wilderness, in the forest, and they're learning. 2-3 minutes, actually a few hours into the learning, the student noticed the candles flickering. And the student tells the rabbi, Rabbi, the candle's flickering, the candle's going to go out, what should we do? The rabbi says, don't worry, keep learning. 3 minutes later, the candle goes out. And then now, the student said, I never saw darkness like this in my life. In the middle of the woods, in the shack, with no light, pitch black. He says, I was petrified. So I said, Rabbi, what are we going to do now? Rabbi said, let me go find another candle. He says, what? Another candle? We're in the middle of the forest. What are you talking about? The rabbi said, don't worry about it. The rabbi left the room, left the shack, and he went out. And the student's standing there, how in the world is the rabbi going to get there? The rabbi comes back 5 minutes later. And he says, I got a candle. The student's amazed. How'd you get a candle? He lights the candle, sits right back in his chair. Before the student could ask him how he got it, he's right back in the subject, talking like they were before. And they continued learning the rest of the night, till the daybreak. They walked back to the shul, learning the whole time. The student never got to ask the rabbi how he was able to procure the candle. The following week, the rabbi got up to give a dirashah and shul on Shabbat. And he was talking about bitachon. And the rabbi, not on Shabbat, it must have been on a Saturday night, I don't know. The rabbi pulls out the candle, the remainder of the candle, from that night, and he tells everybody. He says, trust in God and He'll take care of you. He says, last week, I was out in the forest, and he says, we were learning, and I had no candle, candle went out. And I said, how could it be? I want to learn Torah now. How could it be that God's not going to provide for me another candle? So I left, not knowing where I'm going to get a candle from, but knowing that God will take care of me. And he says, I was walked outside. He said, three, four minutes later, there was another caravan passing by in the middle of the night in the forest. And there was a guy on it, and I asked him, do you have a candle? And the guy said, actually, I do. He said, but it's going to cost you. You want a candle out in the middle of the forest? He charged an exorbitant amount of money. And the rabbi said, what? God's going to make me pay all this money? I don't believe. Hashem could provide for me a candle? Not so expensive. And the rabbi said, no deal. Started walking away. The guy said, I'm going to lose the deal. The guy chased the rabbi back. He says, all right, I'll give it to you for a regular price. The rabbi got the candle, and the rabbi brought it back. The rabbi said, when I left, I didn't know how I was getting a candle. But I knew one thing. I knew Hashem wouldn't let me down. So students told him, rabbi, we're working very hard. We work very hard. We put in long, hard hours in our day. And we're not seeing results. And you know what? You tell me I don't have to put in so much effort, rabbi. He says, but when we stop putting in the effort, we see our money decreasing. You know, you tell me Hashem's going to give me the same amount either way? And they asked him this question. They said, we put in less effort and we make less money. What's going on? Doesn't seem to work, the rules. So the rabbi gave him a mashal. The rabbi said there was a king. He had a palace. And he built a big wall around the palace. And he put a wobbly ladder. And he said, whoever's able to climb this ladder, I will give them my daughter in marriage. I'll give them the princess. And everyone got online to try to climb the ladder, to try to get the girl in marriage. And he said, the first guy got up, the first rung was so wobbly, he slipped right off, fell on the floor. Next guy slipped off the ladder, and they saw the ladder was so high. There was 30 rungs to climb. No one could get past the second rung. Everyone was giving up. There was one guy there who said, if the king made the proposition, there must be a way to get up the ladder. He said, probably after the first few rungs, it becomes sturdy again. And a guy got up there, that guy got up, and he held on to the sides with all of his might, and he leaped past the first three rungs. And he got into the fourth rung, he took the leap of faith, and it was very sturdy. And he climbed up to the top, and he got the daughter of the king. And the rabbi told the students, he said, no one had faith. He said, everyone, the second they started to try, they broke, they had no patience. Nobody has any patience with God, he says. You stop working for 1 second, you do one thing, it's going bad, you say, oh, Hajj, that's it, I'm out, I can't, I this, I that. He says, give it a little time. He says, you get over the hump, try to get over the initial hump, and then it'll all be good. It'll all be good after that. God wants to sometimes see if you're going to have faith when the times are difficult, and boy, now are the times difficult. We live in a very difficult situation. The economy is bad. Now is the time where you need to have bitachon. Now is it that's easy when everything is going smooth and everything, we're making money. Yeah, it's Hashem. It's great. He's awesome. Now, but when the times are tough, where's everyone talking? Where's it? Where's God? What is He doing? What is it? How about now? Now is when you have to have the bitachon. And now you say, God, I know You love me, and I know You're doing it for my best. And when you have the complete faith, you put the faith, we say, Be'ezrat Hashem, you'll get over that hump, and He'll give us beracha, He'll show you the real beracha. But that's for people, again, these all levels that we talked about till now are for people who are on that high, high level of Madrega Bitachon. What is the amount of effort that the regular guy has to put in? The regular guy, we're not an extraordinary Ba'alei Bitachon. What do we have to do every day, bottom line, and work? So Rabbi Zundel of Salant put it like this. He said, we're not worthy of open miracles nowadays. None of us are worthy of open miracles. He says, but all you have to do is put in an effort where it won't appear that you're making your money through a miracle. That's it. Which means, if you put in a normal effort, depending on the field you're in, depends on the line of work you're in, but if the business requires 10 to 6, that's what everyone else in the field does, that's all you need, and not 1 minute more. If it requires at the bank, 9 to 4, whatever the hours are, and if you put in the normal effort, then now you have the makom for the beracha to rest on. That's all you have to do. But once you start going over and above, and you start going late out, of course, it could be rare times, you have to stay late one day, and I say, but once you have to, once you're killing yourself, and you're going too early, you're going at 6 o'clock in the morning, coming home 9 o'clock at night, and you never see, then already you think it's you. Then you think it's you. You think, I need this amount of effort, this is what I need. The more you do that, the more it's machlish yibitachon, the more it weakens yibitachon, because you think it's kochiv, it's a, I have to put in this amount of hours, because God can't do it any other way. Now again, we're not preaching laziness. A person now, if I tell you, you have to work 10 to 5, or 10 to 6, that doesn't mean that I wake up at 9 o'clock, roll out of bed, and you know, get to work at 10. There's a whole nother world out there. There's a whole spiritual life that we have. There's a family life you have to have. There's people, they never see their kids. There's people, you have to, besides, but we're not put in the world just to work. You're put in the world, work is a means to live. And then there's so much more. If you have the extra time now, you go to Minyan. You go and get involved in a chesed organization. You do homework with your kids. How many people? We don't see our kids at night. Sometimes, myself included, I'm at all 8 hours of the night. What about that? What about our kids? They need role models. If you tell, you want your kid to succeed, you tell them, oh, go learn. Dad, what about you? I have to see you doing it. Imagine a father could come home from work at a normal hour and do homework with his kids. Wow, so nice. You teach his son a Mishnah at night. You learn some Chumash with him. That's what you do with your extra time. You spend some time with your wife. You spend a little extra time in the Ben Midrash. This is what we should be doing with the extra time. Don't kill yourself and kill yourself in the work and the rest. It's not necessary to get to live. Hashem says it's a tax. You pay your tax and you have to live another part. We have two parts to our life. We have the physical part, the spiritual part. Now, another thing is, the more we have bitachon, the more honest we'll be able to be in business. They say about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, he had a store. And the Chafetz Chaim was so worried. He was so worried about God forbid, stealing from the people, overcharging by accident. He said he was moving to Israel, the Chafetz Chaim. And before he left, he let anybody, he said, whoever wants to come to my well and take water, God forbid if I ever stole from you, please come take now. I don't want to go to the next world having the sin of Geneva on my head. Unwittingly. He didn't even know. There was one time there was a freezing time in his town, and all the wells froze except his. He says, oh great, now all the people who I stole from will come take the water and they'll pay him back. I don't want everything I could do honest, because I know Hashem is taking care of me. The way we look at our competition, competitors, the more you have bitachon, the less your competitors will have an effect on you. There's a rule the Gemara says, En Adam Nogeya Bema Shemuchan Lechavero Afilu Kimelonima. A person cannot take away even one penny that was designated for you this year. You could have a guy, he could open up a store on the other same side of the block. They tell a story. We have so much resentment sometimes when people, come and they try to take away our business. One of the students, we'll end with this, one of the students of the Chazon Ish, he owned a printing press in Bnei Berak. And someone opened up a shop, the same printing press right near him. And the guy went home and he started looking up all the halachot and he says, Basi gevul re'ehu, I'm going to go to the rabbi, I'm going to tell on him, I'm going to this, that, what does he think he's doing? And then he realized, he was a student of the Chazon Ish, the biggest Baal Bitachon. He realized, is Hashem going to take away my money now? Because this guy also needs a parnasa? Can't be. And he said, the guy wanted to be machzik, he wanted to strengthen his Bitachon. He says, the perfect opportunity, I'm waiting my whole life where I could exercise my bitachon, I'm going to do it now. He goes over to the guy, and he says, I heard you in the printing press now. Yeah, let me show you the ropes. He says, here's where you could get cheap merchandise. Here's how you have to advertise. And he went and he gave him all advice of business. The guy couldn't believe it. And the student of the Chazon Ish, she came home that night, and he started going over his bitachon notes. And he's in such a state of simcha. And his family said, what are you so happy about? Yesterday you were so depressed, now you're happy? He says, no, you don't understand. He says, till now, I had to work so hard. He says, now this guy is going to come, he's going to take away half of my customers, he's going to take away half my headaches, and I'll still make the same money, it'll be beautiful. These are the attitudes you have to have. He's not going to take away, God's not going to take away from you. Bezrat Hashem will strengthen our bitachon. We'll put in the amount of work you need and not more. And we'll use our time wisely. We'll spend time with our families. We'll spend time with our kids. We'll spend time with the Torah. Amen.